This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Care and Feeding, the show where we raise the next generation together. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry who's 11, Oliver who's 9, and Teddy who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I'm dad to Noah, who's 6, and Ami, who's homesick today. He's 3.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima. We live in Los Angeles. Oh, and she'll be 11 on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yay! Happy birthday, Naima! Well, today on the show, we're answering a question from a parent who's getting ready to let their 10-year-old trek home from school alone. He's a responsible kid, but there are some lingering questions, namely, how to get around the dreaded cell phone. And then, of course, we'll debrief our week with a round of triumphs and fails. So let's get going. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll see you back here for our listener question. All right, we're back. Here's our question. It comes from Stacy, a member of the Slate Parenting Facebook group.
We are getting ready to let our 10-year-old walk home from school by himself. It's about a mile. He is very responsible and mature, and we've been practicing a lot gearing up for the spring milestone. We don't have a landline. We aren't ready to get him a cell phone or a watch. We do want him to be able to call us when he's home by himself. Thinking a Google Nest or Amazon Alexa could allow him to do this. Does anyone use these devices instead of a landline, and how has it worked for you? Do you prefer one over the other? Or do you have another suggestion of how to provide kids without cell phones a way to call you when they're home alone?
Okay, I think, so first of all, I would acknowledge that maybe there isn't a budget for a kid phone, which is totally understandable. But you didn't mention the cost as being what's prohibiting you from getting him a phone. It's that you don't feel ready to get him a phone or a smartwatch. So yes, he could call you guys from Google Nest or Amazon and let you know that he's made it home. Yes, he can call 911 from these devices. But what concerns me is that he can't call you on his walk, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if something is to happen between the school and the house, he is without a device. And that gives me pause. You know, certainly if something happens at the school, he can call from the office or from a teacher's phone or a friend's phone. He can call you from one of these devices when he gets home. But a mile walk is not super short, you know? I mean, I think it's fine for a 10-year-old to do it, but I just don't like the idea of him being without communication that whole walk.
Interesting.
So I would consider getting him no bells and whistles, low cost, get it from Walmart, very basic cell phone that only allows him to dial in and dial out just in case something happens on his way to the house and he doesn't have to, you know, look for a stranger for assistance. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I think that's smart. And I was looking up kids' phones. You can get them for like as little as $10 a month. For the plan itself. And I totally respect not wanting to get him one yet. I have a couple more supplementary ideas. To piggyback on what you were just saying, Jamila, in order for them not to have to approach a stranger, I think you take this opportunity, if you haven't already, to get to know the people between your kid's school and your house, if you don't already. Like, get to know your neighbors. Know that there are that like there's the retired couple who lives four houses down. In the event that something's weird, you go knock on their door, or you know your friend Timmy is lives down the street. You know, go and knock on his door because you know that you know his dad gets home early from work on Wednesdays or whatever. So I think that's like an opportunity to make it so you don't live in fear as much, which I totally understand. Like a mile is legit, but get to know the people around you and enlist them to be your support. Secondly, this does not involve needing a Nest or a phone. This is a 1950s approach. I think it's going to be fun for the 10-year-old. A two-way radio. Get walkie-talkies, man. I was just looking at at walkie-talkies that, like, a basic one you can get has a 25-mile range, which is kind of unbelievable. You have one, your kid has the other, he has it in his backpack, you can talk to him on the way home, he can call you when he gets home. You probably don't even have to spend the $75 that it costs on Amazon. You could probably go on Facebook Marketplace and get a cheaper one. But use that lo-fi technology to your advantage, because good for you. Like, you don't have to get him a smartwatch or a phone yet, but maybe walkie-talkies is the way to go.
Can you imagine being in your office and the walkie-talkies going on?
Breaker, mom.
Mom, over. Breaker.
Mom, we're out of turkey. Over.
Yeah, you have to trust that he's not going to just use it for any minor inconvenience. Like, mom, can't find the remote. Over.
I think, Tamila, I think you could relate. Once you get your kid some kind of communication device, they will use it to convey. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Oh, yeah. Naima calls me all the time after school, like, with any number of things.
The whole train ride home is thoughts, deep thoughts from the children. I think this is great advice. We used the Alexa. I don't know about the Google Nest. We're an Alexa family. We have used that for the kids to communicate with us. The big downside is that you calling it is complicated. So we use like announcements or like dropping in, and it is not always very reliable. The call quality is not great. Uh-huh. I have found it really effective if literally all you want is for them to let you know that they're home. It's going to work perfect for that. But my advice is to sit down and really make a list about what you want this device to do. Because I agree with what Jamil is saying about, like, do you want them to have some kind of communication on the walk home? And it's not that I think something bad is going to happen. I think that my children find a lot of reasons to deviate from their normal path. It's very, Red Riding Hood, like, oh, there are flowers. And the ability to, I think, have to check in with me about that is good. But also, like, we existed for years letting them go and come with just using the Alexa at home, and it was fine. Again, I think you just have to get over some of these limitations. So I would really make a list about what you want. Like, do you need to track them? Do you need to be able to communicate with them at school? The big reason that we ended up with doing a phone for the kids at school is that plans change, and the ability to make that call right at that dismissal time is super important. Like, what are you going to do when all of a sudden the weather turned? Are they supposed to just come home? Mm-hmm. Are they supposed to wait for a pickup? What if your plans have changed? I also don't know if you've thought about forgetting the key, getting locked out. Those are other things that have happened to us. Now, in the U.S., we happen to have a Ring doorbell, which I know people have all kinds of feelings about, about whether it's spying on you and where that information is going. And also, it's, again, something that's not cheap. That, though, allowed us to know when they were home. And also, on several occasions, Henry used that to let us know that he was locked out, or him and his brothers had gotten locked out, even if I was just, like, down the street. They also use that to, you know, let me know what to get from the grocery store. So maybe, like, if I had gone to the store, they're like pushing the Ring doorbell. Can you pick this up? So I think just be aware of that. I do want to say we got a question like a while ago that maybe we should talk about too, about toddler trackers. Did you guys ever track your little kids?
Like with the AirDrop thing? What are those called? AirTags?
Yeah, I think they asked about the AirTag.
I have never tagged my kids, but I wouldn't judge someone for tagging their kid.
I have Naima AirTagged up now. I bought a pack of AirTags. They were on sale for less than $100 for four of them on Amazon a couple months ago. And so I have one left. I have, okay, don't laugh, but we have them on Naima's book bag, her lunchbox, and her Stanley.
Okay. And so how's it been going?
Expensive things.
It's been great because Naima's very good at leaving her lunchbox or her Stanley at the after-school program or at school, and it'll show me right where they are. And
so you can get really precise, like to like
Yeah, yeah, it'll say the name of the school. Like,
when no, but like school. Inside the school, you can get to like the exact place that it's at.
I don't know about that. We haven't had to do that yet. You know, it's just showing me the school, and she'll say like, "Oh, I know where it is."
Okay.
You
okay.
know, so I don't know. Yeah. You can like
make it chirp too.
Yeah.
I find that I have one in each of the kids' book bags for the same reason. Like, did we leave it at school? I find that. And it may be because we're here in Japan, and so they're just not pinging, like there aren't as many iPhones and iDevices here, but I find them unreliable in terms of tracking. I've used much better kid trackers. Like, it's not that they're unreliable long term. Like, when I find them very helpful for, like, my phone tells me when it's left me, you know, like, oh, these objects are no longer with you. But like, if I'm trying to watch them come home, I find the Apple Tag to be not very effective. Like, I can't see exactly where they are. I might see like, oh, they made it to the station, but I have no idea. Like, did they make it right now? Did they make, you know, like, I just think in terms of like tracking a child, if that's what you've decided you want to do, then you should get a device that tracks a child as opposed to trying to use this Apple Tag, which I think is more designed for like things.
For items.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree with Jamila. It has saved us. Like, the idea that I know that they didn't leave it like at a train station or at a friend's house and that it got left at the school is often the only thing I need to know, right? Like, we're going to find it. But which place did they did they leave it, you know?
This might be a good time, Elizabeth, to give us an update, because last we spoke a couple months ago, you were about to let your kids come home on the train in Tokyo. Have there been any regrets or developments?
No, they're doing that reliably. Henry has had several forays into Tokyo on his own with friends, all seemingly fine. We've had some, you know, misunderstandings about coming home, and he turned off his phone once to like save battery. But to me, those are all kind of these learning experiences about communicating with parents and about, you know, devices that we're learning together. I will say, I know this parent is against phones, and Henry is almost 12, so a different situation. But we did find that allowing him to use the phone and then put some of his friends, like he has texts with his friends as well, really solved some of our social problems that we were having here with him, just like his ability to communicate and make friends, because so much of that is happening on the phone. So although I am still like very anti-phone for kids, I am slowly coming to peace with what we, you know, sort of decided to do. And just so you know, we took a phone and just used this goes back to like an option, like a Google Voice phone number. And so he has a phone number, and then the phone is pretty like locked down in terms of like, it's, we have to be add the people, you know, we control what apps are on there. And I know this is like a whole, we have definitely opened the whole phone thing, but to this letter writer, if you make this list and then it looks like a phone is what you need, I think there are options, which you guys both mentioned. There's Gab phone, there's, you know, flip phones that might meet your needs without opening the door too much to some of the other things.
I just want to double down and make an impassioned plea for you to get this child a phone. I just think that he should have the ability to call. Like, I get the walkie-talkie suggestion, and I think it could be fun, but I just really think you need to have the ability to call multiple people. You know, like, if something, there's two of you all, so you would need two sets of walkie-talkies. But, like, if something happens and neither of you are available, you know, like, the idea of him needing to maybe call 911, he could witness a car accident on the way home. You know, some stranger danger could come and bother him.
It's possible, too, they're in, like, a very, like, the whole thing is in neighborhood, like a very, I don't know, suburban or rural, or like a large group walks home and maybe somebody else has a phone. I think I do want to say that I feel like once, at least for us, once we started going down this road, the eventual answer was phone. So like, we used a variety of other things. And I've certainly seen my friends go from like, well, we're just going to do this like kids smartwatch. And then it's like, oh, but this doesn't really do all the things that we need to do. Like when practice changed or when this changed, right? and kind of eventually end up with a phone. So again, I'm not saying you need to get one now, but I think that you need to make a list and also just have in the back of your mind that this may eventually lead to a phone. And so be thinking about if it does, what is the plan? And I think it led to a phone more for us, like more for the convenience of Jeff and I, you know, for mix-ups and, like I said, weather, being locked out, like these things that just, it was like, if he had just had a phone, this wouldn't have been a problem. But he didn't have a phone, so it was a problem. Well, listeners, you are sure to have a lot of opinions on this because phone, no phone, walking home alone. We want to know what you think. You can email us at KarenFeedingPod@slate.com or our favorite option, leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We want to hear from you. Seriously. All right, listeners, we're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in a second for triumphs and fails. We're back and moving on to a segment we call Triumphs and Fails. Zach, do you have a triumph or fail for us this week?
I have a triumph. I was home with Noah and Ami on Sunday, and Noah, with no prompting from me at all, she went and grabbed Green Eggs and Ham and proceeded to read the entire thing, which she had never done before. She's just started to, I think, really understand the fundamentals of vowels due to her great teacher, Ms. Allison, in her kindergarten. And she read a book. She read a full book. And that's Green Eggs and Ham is, I'm going to do some bragging here, that's a 65-page book. So it was very exciting. She needed like a little help with words like, you know, anywhere, the multisyllabic words. But Dr. Seuss, I forget sometimes how great an aid Dr. Seuss is for young readers. I was so proud of her. She was so proud of herself. Ami was sitting there listening to it because he likes Green Eggs and Ham. He's telling me now he wants to actually eat Green Eggs and Ham, which I don't think I'm going to do. But still, it was a very exciting day, and I could just see her pride swelling in real time. So it was a big deal, especially because Dr. Seuss was such a big deal in my house growing up when I was learning to read. So Seuss wins again.
I feel like some of my kids learned to read very quickly and some of them didn't, but for all of them, it's opened such a door. Why aren't you making Green Eggs and Ham?
First of all, ham isn't something that us Jews eat in our house. Right. Green eggs I'll make.
Green eggs and maybe green spam. Eggs and...
Well, spam, isn't spam just ham? Isn't spam also ham?
It's true. Green eggs and ham substitute?
I'm very happy to make him green eggs. Which, what do you think that would be like?
I
like
think
a spinach
you should make
puree?
Him the green eggs.
Like a spinach and egg? Would that be green? Yeah. Green eggs? No, I'm happy to do that. Just not with the ham. Jamila, what have you got? Triumph or fail?
So, we don't know yet.
Ooh.
I have an update on Red Lobster.
Okay, but give a little, I listen, but give me a brief, bring me up to speed on the dilemma.
So last week I discussed the fact that on Friday, which is Naima's actual birthday, she will be going with her dad's family to Red Lobster. This includes her dad, her stepmom, her brother, her stepmother's mother, I think two of her stepmother's sisters, the neighbor at their dad's house, and her son, like, you know, like her dad's village. And so initially we had plans for Thursday night, but then she told me she wants to have a sleepover because we were going to go out to dinner on Thursday night. You know, that's what she told me she wanted. Like, oh, I'll go to dinner with you on Thursday and dinner with dad on Friday. And so, like, when her dad put the Red Lobster dinner on our shared calendar, I was like, wait, am I supposed to be there? And then I thought about the fact that it was on her actual birthday. And I'm like, maybe I'm, like, supposed to be there, you know? And so, also, I don't want to go. Like, that's the other part.
So you don't want to go.
I don't want to go. I get along. I have a great relationship with her father and his family. I think they're lovely people. But I just feel kind of outnumbered in those situations.
Yeah, and you're isolated. Like a third wheel or something.
Like almost. A third wheel.
100th wheel. Yeah.
100th wheel. And like in New York, I had my own friends and family. So if we were to do something like this, I could bring people, you know, mm-hmm. like I wouldn't be by myself. But here I would be kind of by myself. And I just feel like everyone's going to be competing for Naima's attention. And she's probably going to give most of it to her brother, you know. So I just don't really feel like there's a place for me there. And when I asked Naima if she wanted me to go, she was ambivalent. She was like, oh, you're coming? I was like, well, do you want me to come? She's like, I mean, I guess you can come if you want. So then I was like, okay, I really don't know what to do because she's giving me nothing. So I shared this with the podcast last week. Lucy was very insistent that I go. That's your baby. That's her actual birthday. You need to be there. And we got a few listener letters.
A lot of listener letters
that were also impassioned. And I want to share a bit from one of them. Subject, all caps, Jamila, do not go to Red Lobster. Chiming in with my opinion on today's episode, largely based on my experience as a child of divorced parents. It's very plausible that Naima won't be able to fully relax and enjoy dinner with both parents and villages present. Particularly as she gets older, she may become more aware of differences in each family's culture and code switch a bit between them. She might want to have two birthday celebrations in which she can be who she is in that family or group, and she can comfortably fill the role in that family or group's dynamics. She might absolutely love both parents and their respective extended families, but kids are sensitive. If you, Jamila, feel slightly out of place and awkward, which is totally understandable, Naima may pick up on that and also feel awkward, like she needs to watch out for you. I think she told you that she prefers to celebrate with each of you separately. You asked and she didn't give you an unequivocal yes, come. That could easily be a no. Telling a loved one you'd rather they not come to an event is tough for most adults. I imagine it would be tough for Naima. If she's saying it's okay for you not to go, trust her. And that was from Adrian. Thank you so much for that, Adrian. And so that is what did it. I was like, I'm not going.
That landed
this
for you.
This is it. Like, I have made my decision. Mm-hmm. That landed for me. I called my mom because my mom was telling me I needed to go too. And I read it to her and she was like, she raises some good points, you know? So it's all good. And then Naima was like, so are you coming to Red Lobster? I was like, well, I don't think so. You know, she was like, but I want you to come.
She changed her tune.
I'm like,
She
changed her tune.
Oh my gosh.
You know? And so now she's swinging back and forth between I want you to come and being ambivalent. Because we talked about her. She went back to ambivalent. So I don't know. I told her I would decide on Thursday. Like, so it's going to be a last minute call. But I also have a date for Friday night. So, didn't think about that I've also literally made plans during the time that they would be at Red Lobster.
Maybe that's a sign. Maybe that's just a sign. Just like, now you can't go.
I can't go.
You just can't go. Because, like, if you had already had something on your calendar and you just couldn't go, this never would have, right? Just be like, I'm so sorry. I can't go.
I can't go. And Naima and I went out to dinner on Sunday night.
And are you doing this for the night?
Yes, we're doing a sleepover on Thursday with one of her girlfriends. We're doing a sleepover on Saturday after the birthday
party. You're doing
party
two sleepovers.
With another one of her girlfriends. Like,
yeah.
Two sleepovers.
Yeah. I think hug, kiss, send her out the door. I think, okay, so based on this listener letter, I think too, like, it's like so confusing now, right? Because maybe she thinks she doesn't want to hurt your feelings. Like, she's trying to balance, because this listener letter is basically like, listen, I was this child and trying to balance all of that was difficult.
Yeah.
And you know she's going to be fine and safe. Like, it's not like you're sending her into a situation where she's not safe or doesn't know all these people, right? like, this is her family. So I think it's okay to just be like, thank you so much for wanting me to come. That makes me feel so loved. I actually already made plans. You're going to have a great time and I'll see you here. I think the universe / your subconscious made this decision for you.
And also, her stepmom has an event at a bookstore this week. Like, she's doing a talk with an author that I know, and I'm going to that, you know?
Yeah.
And Naima and her dad and her brother will all be there. So I feel like I'm showing up as somebody who's committed to being part of this, you know, extended family unit. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, you're showing your commitment. Yes. It's not like missing this as being like shunning them. Like you're, yes.
And just, Naima has never been like, Mom, I really want you to come. I mean, she like said it briefly, but she didn't stand by it. Had she been, you know, I think more emphatic, it would be a different story, wouldn't it?
Yes. Definitely. If she like, because when she said it, I was kind of like, okay, I guess I'm going. And then she was like, you know, she came back to me. I was like, you don't have to go if you don't want to. I'm like, oh my God, just make a decision, please. My day hangs in the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is the grand closing to Red Lobster, because I don't think I'll be on for another few weeks. So this is the update.
Going to Red Lobster.
I'm not going.
Lucy's going to go to Red Lobster, though.
Obviously, Miami. Text Zach, Lucy, and I. We need a Friday update.
I'll text you guys and let
confirm.
You
know,
but yeah. I'm not going.
Okay, let us know.
Elizabeth, what about you? Triumph or failing?
Okay. I'm taking a big fail. Big fail. All right. We were on spring break last week. We went down to Hiroshima, Nagasaki to kind of close out. We were in Hawaii, did like Pearl Harbor. So we thought for spring break, we'd take the train and sort of close out World War stuff and atomic bombs, you know, happy spring breaking, but very educational, lovely. We had a great time, but we were a few days into the trip and like, I say a few days, but I think it was like on the train on the way down there. And I noticed that Henry is like blinking a lot and motor tics are kind of the first sign of a panda's flare. And to catch you up, Henry has pandas, which is known as pediatric autoimmune neuropsychotic disorders associated with streptococcal infections, blah, blah, blah. It means that when he gets sick, he has autoimmune encephalitis. So his immune system attacks his brain is kind of the short of it. Ironically, the week before the trip, I was on the phone with his specialist and was like, things are going great. Like the medication is great. We are in a great spot since we've moved here. Like his inflammation markers are down. Like I think just the food that we're eating here is just like not affecting us the same way. Like things are lovely. She's like, great, no changes. I'm like, oh. And one of the things with this disease is that around puberty, a lot of kids just get better. And so I also was like, oh, maybe this is happening. Now, also at the same time, we're having like, you know, pre-pubescent mood swings. So it's sometimes hard to know, like, is this just puberty or is this like pandas? I don't know. But maybe that's all okay. I was like, this is all good. This all seems like normal range. Okay. Things got bad. Like this is, I think, because we haven't had anything for a while. It was just... it was bad. It was killer. He's so mean when this happens. He then also like will not read a book, will not do any writing. He food restricts. He yells at us about everything. It is awful. And we're staying in these little Japanese kind of like hostel places is normally where we stay because five of us can stay. It's pretty cheap. But they're not like... We don't always have like the full privacy of a hotel room. Like we're in our own space, but we're sharing spaces. And so it's just not really a great place to be fighting it out with a, you know, 11-year-old who's just like fighting, like doesn't want to leave the room. The other thing that happens when he's having these attacks, which I've talked about, are these flares, is that not only is he mean to us, he can't leave my side. He gets massive separation anxiety because they get into fight or flight. So it's like having this person that can't help but fight with you need to be with you all the time. And he really attaches to me when this happens. And it's very hard. And I was not a great person during this. But the fail is that I am in charge of his medicines. It is like one of the few things that Jeff knows very little about. I like literally worry that if something happened to me, Jeff could not fill out his medicines. And you guys, I didn't pack the right number for the trip. I miscounted the trip. So we were 2 days short. I normally carry this like thing, and we have these things called basically rescue pills that when he gets really bad, it's like it's like a very high powered Benadryl that he can take. And it just sort of calms his whole system down. Now, he is like zombie-like for 24 hours. He sleeps it off, but he feels a lot better. So it got to the point where he's asking for this. I didn't have one with me because I just didn't pack them. I also was 2 days short on medication. So I'm trying to like figure out what days can we like skip? Can we ended up like moving our train earlier to come home for a number of reasons, but that got us one of the day, like one of the evenings that I was missing. And I was just like, I messed this up so badly. Like I became so complacent with things being fine. So then I was mad at myself too. It was just like, he felt bad. I sat with him on the train and he's just like, it's so sad to see this like wonderful child. And when we go on these trips, like so much of it is like, we plan around the kids like reading and we go to these spots and we like journal and it's like this beautiful what we like to do. And to just have this kid that can't do that, but it feels like such, that he is being disrespectful, even though like he has no control over it. And it's been a long time. And when this happens, when we get into these cycles of like, gosh, things have been so good. And then they go back to being just like off the cliff bad. My brain has a really hard time flipping. I've fallen out of practice of like every time he's saying something to me, saying in my head, like, this is the disease, not Henry. Like all of those things that I have coached myself to say. So there were tears, there was some yelling, I think I've said sometimes Jeff and I turn on each other in these moments. So there was some of that. Overall, I think we had a good trip. And actually, today Henry and Jeff are flying back to the US, part for medical, part for some other stuff.
When was the last one before this?
So I'd say we had we have not had a bad one like this since living here. On the summer, on the way here, was probably his last flare. Now, and it takes a few months to like get out of it.
It sounds so like frustrating and challenging to have this random thing happen.
So that sucks.
At random times, you don't know it's coming. You did your best.
Yeah.
I know.
You have to give yourself some grace, Elizabeth. Like, you balance so much. You know, like,
yeah.
And how's he doing now?
I mean, he's better. We're like moving, like we have all the pills, and of course I've packed everything, and he's going home to get to see a doctor about a few other things, so that'll be like
good. Oh, back to the States,
because we can actually
like, oh, okay,
so, yeah, so he's going back with Jeff. Jeff has to go back for work, and he's gonna go back to, because our doctor, like, we still see the same doctor here, but he can actually go in. So I mean, that timing is good, because often if we like we're gonna bring him back and he wasn't flaring, it's like there's nothing, you know, like, look, here's our healthy child.
That's really hard.
I just feel like I let him down. I alternate between, you know, when you get in that, it's like a bad cycle. Like I alternate between being mad that this is happening and then like, how could I not have brought the things that he's now asking me for? Like, there's nothing more than when he's like, can I just take a rescue pill? Because he'll get to that point where he'll be like, he used to fight them. And now he's like, yeah, I know that, yeah, I will feel better. And I'm like, I used to carry them in my wallet. I became completely complacent. One time. Sorry to end on that downer.
It's fine. I'm glad that he's bouncing back a bit.
Yeah. The right medication will do that. Just got to make sure I pack it. He's all packed for this trip, though. I've got everything in there. I got it all. I sent Jeff with extra pills. You know, now I've swung the other way. He's taken the whole pharmacy back. Well, listeners, as always, we, of course, want to hear your parenting stories, too. Don't leave us hanging out here alone. Do you have a particularly great triumph or a funny fail? We definitely want to hear it. You can send them to us, and we might share them on the show. You can write to us at our email address, careandfeedingpod@slate.com, or leave a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We want to know what all of you think, so be sure to reach out to us and keep the conversation going. And that's our show. Subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends. If you want more parenting advice, you can find Care and Feeding the Column on slate.com. This episode of Care and Feeding is produced by Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. Pujamila Lemieux and Zach Rosen. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.